I don't press the call record button.
That's all right. We'll begin again.
Yeah. See, this is what happens when I'm on drugs.
Just say no, kids.
Yep.
Just say no to vapor rub. Welcome to the Sound of Football podcast, back again. Yes, I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to be clutching the low-hanging fruit of the easy content tree. Yes, we're going to be talking about the European Super League, because, well, everyone else did, and so why not us, hey?
It's very easy.
Yes.
We like that, don't we?
Yeah, well, it all broke out in the paper the other week. We actually briefly touched on it, didn't we, in the podcast?
And, yeah, a few weeks ago. Yeah, we sort of prophesied that it would rear its head again.
Yeah, yeah, always ahead of the curve as we are. It has, hasn't it?
Yeah. Mm. So I prophesied that it's going to rain at some point in April.
Yeah. That sort of came through today, didn't it? Yeah.
The low-hanging fruit of prediction is just next to the low-hanging fruit of content tree.
Yes.
It's a veritable forest of low-hanging.
Yeah. It's like the very low tree of guessing where a bear defecates, isn't it?
Or if it has.
Yes. Usually right next to the low-hanging tree.
Or the religious status of the Pope.
Yes.
Indeed.
So, Terry, come on. Why is it really in the news again?
Well, there was a meeting.
Yes.
And the chap's name is Stephen Ross, isn't it, Jan?
It is, yeah. Yes, from Relevant Sport.
And he is from the United States, and he owns the Miami Dolphins.
He does.
And he is previously the organiser of the International Championship Tournament. I forget what it's called now.
ICC.
ICC. Well, we talked about this tournament a few weeks ago as well, maybe a couple of months ago. Because we speculated that, we were talking about club football and international club football and where it was going. So this has turned up before. They had a meeting with six clubs. The listeners know this, in fairness. And it was mooted that there might be, as a consequence, some kind of breakaway European Super League. That certainly was the way that the Sun journalist who broke the story framed it. And so to what extent he knows what went on in that meeting, or maybe he's been briefed off the record by other clubs, who knows? Or it might well be that he's hoisting a flag on behalf of some of the clubs there. We don't know. But it certainly got everyone jumping around and thinking about this, as it invariably does, as it did in 2009 when Florentino Perez came up with the same idea when he got bored of Real Madrid winning stuff and wanted to win something else, or make more money, or both. But I assume that the real reason why is money. Money, because money's great and it buys lots of great stuff.
Exactly,
yeah.
It does.
Shiny stuff.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah. You want to get something, it really comes in handy.
Yeah, it really does. Because if you haven't got it, you can get into all sorts of trouble.
Oh. Top tip, listeners. Get money, it's great.
It is. It really can help you out of a tight spot.
It can, yeah.
That's the real thing, though, isn't it, Jan? Because actually, English clubs have actually got quite a lot of money. And as of next season, they're going to have even more money. And you can imagine that for the majority of English clubs, you can see why it's quite easy for them, safe for them, to say, actually, we're not really interested in the Super League just yet. Yeah, but for other teams that maybe are stomping all over their domestic leagues, they might think, well, actually, this is really easy, but I really wish I was earning some of that do-re-mi that they get over in the English Premier League.
Yeah, you are right. The meeting between the big five or six in London the other day was apparently to discuss the idea of a summer tournament outside of the domestic league and away from the Champions League. Quickly played down, I think, by people associated with it, that it was any step towards any kind of Super League. That said, The journalists all jumped on top of that because you know, it's easy content. I can't believe that they would do such a thing. But it sells copy, doesn't it? You have a situation across Europe now, especially in the big leagues, where the big teams are stomping all over their respective leagues. So
PSG are going to win it this weekend, aren't they?
Well, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, there's no competition there. Mm. There's no competition in Spain.
Yeah.
You know, which is why when Barcelona come over to play teams in London, they're nice and fresh.
Yeah,
because they've
just
been keeping themselves fit in the sun. And you know, with the exception of maybe Italy, where there's probably a handful of decent clubs, in the UK, the rest of the big leagues are dominated by one or two big players. And there's going to come a point where those teams or those clubs decide, well, we've got as much as we can in this market. We have to go into other markets, and I think this is what this is born out of. The Premier League are probably not too bothered about it currently because there's a lot of money sloshing around. But at some point, they're going to get to a point where that plateaus and they'll want more. Mm. And I think that a Super League, whether it's European or it's a travelling fair across the world, is inevitable. It will happen.
Wow. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge's European roadshow. Oh, yeah. I can see it now.
Well, it'd be like a circus.
It'll never fit on the marquee, will it? But.
No, they might have to scale it down. It's not hashtag compliant as well.
I think it's about 140 characters as it is.
It's just about a tweet. I was just thinking, what you were saying is that if the journalists, they were leaping on it because it's easy content. But they may also be leaping on it because they definitely think there's something in it.
Mm.
I mean, journalists, I know it's very easy to go, oh, journalists, ha, 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 look at them and their easy content. But, I mean, they do spend an awful lot of time making contacts and connections within clubs.
Mm.
And so, I mean, if they're being briefed that something's afoot off the record, then there's always that possibility that something is indeed afoot.
Mm.
And although, at the moment, the Premier League clubs are, you know, rolling around in lots and lots of money because of the Premier League deal and the international Premier League deal and the TV money that comes in, which in some instances dwarfs some of these other senior European clubs. I mean, really dwarfs them. They are going to want to be involved in any kind of European breakaway. They're not going to want to be isolated from it. That is a very English thing to do, to isolate yourself from stuff like this. But, I mean, they won't want to do that. No, I'm going back even further. But in football, England traditionally can be a bit haughty when it comes to setting up international initiatives.
Yeah.
The World Cup, for example.
Yeah.
And then when they arrived, they got their arses kicked. So so they will not want to see Europe break off into their own European Super League and them not want to be involved. So it makes sense for them to lead the way in such an endeavour because they're the ones with the most money. And presumably also there would be a great interest from the European clubs to bring the Premier League clubs with them into what it was. So although it may well have been an organisation of an international Champions Cup or a European Champions Cup, a summer tournament, but there may well have been other factors or, look, this is what we're going to talk about now, but I would love the chance to talk to you guys about this later. Mm. Further down the line, I want to have a chat with some chaps in Europe before I do that, on the continent, I should say, before that.
Mm.
So that's how I'm reading it.
Mm. I remember Gordon Strachan saying, I think only a couple of years ago, that he could see Celtic and Rangers easily moving away to play in some kind of European Super League. And then that and a breakaway involving Scottish clubs and clubs from, say, some of the, with all due respect, weaker leagues in Europe, has been mooted before, I think, back in the early 90s.
Yeah, The Atlantic League.
We've
talked about this as well, haven't we?
Now, for clubs that share an island with the Premier League, it is going to get even tougher and tougher for clubs like Celtic to compete on the European stage when, just down the road, players coming over to them could easily just go, well, actually, I could go and play for Newcastle, and you know, even if they're like 17th in the table,
yeah,
you know, they're still going to be earning considerably more money than you are.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting crossroads. Whether this goes ahead or not, I mean, there's certainly something coming in the future. Mm. But for Celtic and ultimately Rangers will get back up there. They're at a crossroads. They need to make a decision what they're going to do. Yeah. Because if they don't, let's say, well, if they don't join an alternative league, or, you know, for example, join the English league, mm. they are going to get left behind because yeah. they are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. They can't attract the players that they used to attract,
mm.
and they are going to get left behind. So it'd be interesting that if you're right, Terry, and these journalists were being briefed about something that, you know, has the potential of happening sooner rather than later, then, you know, the Scottish teams and teams, as you said, from mm. weaker leagues are going to have to make a decision before that to prevent themselves from being left behind.
Mm. Do you think that there is an element maybe of friendly journalists being fed this story just to see what the reaction was going to be?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I mean, the one yeah. possibility is that they were hoisting a flag.
Yeah.
So they're just gauging reaction, and I think that is that.
What do you think the reaction is? Because I see it's mainly been negative, like, oh yeah. no, this is terrible, or what a, like, they're ruining our game, you know.
Yeah.
Grr, Brussels.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the I agree. That seems to be my reading of the consensus. Is that,
yeah.
is that it's a terrible idea and it's ruining the game. What I find interesting is I don't think I've actually read too many people actually take time. Maybe I've not been reading enough, but that, to take time and really enunciate why it's a terrible idea. I think it's a terrible idea as well, and I think it will ruin the game. But there are moments I'm sitting here thinking, well, you know, if these guys want to go off to Europe and they want to play in their own league, then to what extent does it genuinely affect the watching of football in this country?
Mm.
I don't think people are going to stop watching football in this country just because, you know, there's a European Football League. I mean, OK, if players get poorer, that's not so good for them. If clubs get poorer, that's not so good for the clubs. But ultimately, if, you know, will there still be football stadiums? Will there still be football players? Will there still be football on every Saturday? Probably yes. So to what extent it really is our business? It's a business of fans of the particular clubs.
Mm.
But I mean, as a Palace fan who sort of, you know, I mean, to what extent is it likely to undermine Crystal Palace? Well, I mean, Palace will earn less money and probably the American backers will be unhappy. But, you know, ultimately the club's not going to die. I don't think the club's going to die. I don't think it's necessarily going to cause financial collapse. I mean, football, you know, is football. It's in it, and it just continues. So, I mean, although I don't agree with it, I don't think it's a kind of time to crack open our heads and feast on the goo inside moment.
Hmm. I think that it will lead to, there'll be less money around. And you've got to remember that a lot of clubs have built an infrastructure around the fact that there's this constant supply of moolah coming through the door every single year, and that's going to be something that they suddenly they've got all these overheads and they haven't got the money to service that debt in some cases. So I think you will see clubs that have built themselves on sand start to sink fairly quickly.
But so what?
But, well, I mean, you could say that, but I think...
Beyond the obvious horror that it causes for people who work for the clubs, that's terrible. But I mean, we look at it like from afar. So what? So what if clubs suffer of financial difficulties? So what if some of them even go out of business and just form a new club? Football continues irrespective of you know financial decisions that are made.
That's,
right?
That's a fair point. I think to your other point about fans watching it, I think that will make a difference as well because I think that if you were going to see a game in a European Super League, it turns out like that. The revenue that exists and the demand that will be there for that will force prices right up. So you think you're paying a lot now to go and see a Premier League club. I think that the 100-odd pounds it might cost to go and see Arsenal play for 90 minutes will be significantly dwarfed by going to see... I mean, you just look at how stadium gigs are done now. I mean, you know, 30 years ago, it didn't cost... a king's ransom to go and watch a band play. Now you pay a fortune to go and watch a band play.
Yeah.
And football will go down the, it is going down the same route, and it's been, but it's been hamstrung by, I mean, I think the other day there were the, some of the Premier League clubs announced that they wouldn't charge more than £30 for away fans.
That was today.
Yeah.
Yesterday, yeah.
Mm. That was today. I'm mixing up my days.
Or it's tomorrow, if you're listening. Yeah.
My God, that hurts my head. But yeah, so they're giving away a huge proportion of their ground and subsidising the tickets. And, you know, they're not going to want to do that. Fans that want to watch football will struggle to go and see it live unless they've got plenty of cash.
Yeah, saying that though, you've got to look also at the fact that the amount of revenue that fans bring in, as we've discussed before, is going to diminish, and so they're going to have less of a say, or they're just going to be like nodded to and say, yeah, more fans are so important because, you know, they make the television experience so much better.
Mm. This is what Berlusconi said, wasn't it?
Yes.
Back in the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
He prophesied that one day fans will be allowed in for nothing,
yeah,
because they are providing the necessary backdrop for the television.
But you can't let them in for nothing. Because you give something away, then it's worthless.
Yeah, there is.
So
that.
People won't have the passion for it.
No, though. But I mean, just so he wasn't right, but you could certainly see where he was coming from. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have my notion of a European Super League, if it happens, is sort of, I would say, perhaps 18 clubs and, you know, charging, yes, as you say, an absolute fortune. And then you've got, you know, tourist fans turning up on a one-match basis, much like we discussed, you know, in previous weeks with their half-and-half scarves and their willingness to spend money at the turnstiles. And it sounds like an absolute modern football club owner's paradise.
Mm. Mm.
But, I mean, it's not necessarily the traditional, authentic fan experience. And I don't think that that's necessarily going to be going anywhere. But I agree that we would be in for a period of significant and unpredictable upheaval.
Mm.
I tend to think that your match day experience will become much more nuanced. I think you'll be able to go, you'll be able to decide what sort of match day experience you want, and you will be able to find a club that will actually suit your need.
Mm.
You could say that the match day experience at the past was very boring because it was the same everywhere you went.
Hmm.
Yeah. Full of working class people with flat caps, you know, yeah, waving rattles around.
Yeah.
Yes.
So who wants that?
Yes, exactly. Passing kids over their head down to the front. What's going on there?
I'll tell you who it would be good for. If this was a travelling circus, I say that and
don't. Yeah. I think we know what you mean.
I do mean that.
You mean freak show.
A big freak show. That's travelling. If it's a travelling show, it does mean that if you're an overseas fan, for example, in America or in China or in India, which also happen to be massive markets, but there's a lot of money sloshing around there, clubs are going to be gravitated to play there. But certainly, that's what the idea was behind the recent meeting. So if you're an American fan, you get to see the team that you like watching, and it means that they are not kind of isolated by geography. They get to see the football they want to watch. So, you know, you could look the other way and say it's actually spreading the word even further.
Well, they certainly like that more than the rugby they're going to be getting this weekend, won't they?
Will do. I mean, when
with that?
They're playing some rugby union over there or something.
Where? America?
In New York, I think.
In New York?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, well, all right.
At the same time as the Six Nations. Strange.
What
I don't know if it's an
international fixture
weekend,
or something, is it?
No, it's club fixtures.
Oh, right. Oh, well, they're sending some English clubs over there.
Club rugby's rubbish.
Club rugby's rubbish.
If you listen to this in America, don't go and see it.
That's an interesting. Yeah, that is interesting to see how that one goes down. Yeah.
What is interesting, though, is that when in the ICC game in 2014, Manchester United and Real Madrid played in Michigan, which is not exactly the middle of metropolitan America, and they got 110,000 people for that game. So there's definite appetite in America. They're into their soccer and they love it. So, you know, I suppose looking at it from the other side of things, you can get to see some good old European content.
And who are we to starve those fans of football?
Exactly.
Well, when you put it like that, I suppose you're probably right. The irony, of course, of this European Super League would be is actually it would be really more aimed, as you say, towards people outside Europe.
Yes.
Because, I mean, in fact, you know, the Champions League, the European Champions League, although it's popular in certain areas, it's not that popular. As we're discovering here in the UK, now that it's moved to another channel,
yeah,
that nobody really watches it over here. So this has created another area of concern, I think, for clubs that, and indeed for UEFA, that you know, the UK market is going through a bit of a transition because it's moved to another channel and no one's watching it, or hardly anyone's watching
it. And it's been the UK marketplace has been saturated with football for since the Premier League started, whereas in America and India and you've seen what the Chinese clubs have been doing recently as well. You know, they're really getting into it, and it's a huge market. I don't necessarily think there'll be a European Super League, and if there is, it'll be short-lived. I think that it will end up being a travelling show, and you will have a series of small tournaments played in kind of exhibition games across the world.
And this way you don't get to get clubs like Leicester in your tournament as well.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Irrespective of whether they win the league or not.
Yeah. Because that's got to be an advertiser's nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Leicester winning.
Nobody apart from actual football fans wants to see Leicester in the Champions League next. Anybody who runs football don't want to see Leicester in the Champions League next. Because BT definitely don't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Who knows what conversations are going on behind those closed doors in BT. But, I mean, it must be getting pretty ugly in there because they've spent an awful lot of money. I was watching... I'm going to get really corporate, even more corporate than this podcast has already been. I was watching the Wolfsburg game yesterday, and during the halftime advert breaks, I saw adverts for a claims company and for an insurance company.
Right.
This is daytime TV adverts on peak time, halfway through a Champions League match. Now, okay, Wolfsburg Genk, I get that. Nevertheless, second round Champions League. It wasn't claims direct. It was definitely Admiral Insurance. And then there was something else, which is like, you know, and a COI, a public information.
As soon as that comes around, as soon as you get a home office ad on there, they pay almost literally nothing for that airtime.
They're not selling the airtime, and I realise that sounds hideously corporate, but it's significant because it means if they're not selling advertising airtime, they're not getting any viewers. No one's watching.
This is why your favourite magazines go down. Because they disappear because they can't sell advertising.
That's what's paying the money. The subscriptions only pay certain much. They have to top up their income and make money by selling advertising, and they're not doing it.
Do you think then that maybe if someone's out there to try and say, well, what if we got all the best teams from the Champions League and all the best teams from the Premier League together and just had one competition, we'd only have to pay one lot of TV money. And so there'd be one company that says, "Yes, great, we've got this, and we don't have to share it with someone else."
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, I can certainly. Are you talking about television or just in general? Yeah, no. I mean, I can certainly think that there'd be a great deal of interest.
Yeah,
but I think it's also worth bearing in mind that the highest bid may not necessarily be the most successful one. It depends who comes in.
Mm.
So let's say, for example, a prominent sports broadcaster in the UK. Wanted to get involved in this action, they would probably come in at the organisation at a very, very, very early stage.
Mm.
Much like ITV did when the Champions League was formed.
Yeah, yeah.
They got involved with UEFA at a very early stage.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons why they were able to maintain coverage of that league for as long as they did.
Mm.
Because they were involved. And so, yes, I mean, but that's what's likely to happen. I mean, you know, as we are seeing with the Champions League, the money isn't always everything, and although it's very, very important, especially if you come along waving lots and lots of it around. I mean, but really, I mean, what you're looking for is eyeballs. You know, you want people to actually watch it. Otherwise, the sponsors won't take it, or anything like that.
Well, exactly, which is why which is probably why they don't. You know, any future organisation that administers, however this looks. Would definitely not want a Wolfsburg versus Ghent fixture.
No.
Because that is not what they're in it for. They want a Barcelona against Manchester United.
Yeah. And that's even with all that lovely Volkswagen money that Wolfsburg have got.
Yes.
Look at the moment anyway, subject to numerous court cases and class action suits, I'm sure, that will follow. Yeah, exactly. And that's why Manchester City work so hard in building their brand, you know, and expanding themselves and getting themselves out there, because they know it's not just enough to have money.
Mm.
You know, you've got to be able to get... You need fans.
That's why the first thing you see when you get off the plane at Bangkok Airport is a big Leicester City shop.
Is that right?
Yes.
No shit.
Yeah, the Ormond at...
I didn't realise that.
Are you? It's true. I thought you were joking.
No.
Well, I mean, obviously...
Because they've got Thai audiences.
Yeah.
And they're going for it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're only make hay now while the sun shines, because they probably see an opportunity to really get in. But they've got a long way back to go, haven't they?
Yeah. Thing is, though, to get into any kind of Super League, it's not about being good. It's about being marketable, isn't it?
Hmm.
So Leicester are at the moment the best team in England, and unless there's some kind of cataclysm, they're going to win the Premier League.
Hmm.
But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter in global football. No one cares that Leicester's won the league in China or in Bangkok. No one cares about that. Maybe Bangkok's a bad example. But you know, in the foreign fans will still be supporting Manchester United and Liverpool. Liverpool have not done anything in 10 years.
Yep.
But they're a brand, and brands are important. So it doesn't matter how good your club is, how good your team is. It matters, it matters about your brand.
Well, I think it matters about how much work you put into your brand out there. And I think that's what all these clubs are doing. They're continually looking out. And they are perhaps to the detriment of their brand in the actual country that they exist in, trying to chase the foreign pound. Yeah, it does sound all hot, hideous and corporate whenever we start talking about this, but that's what this whole subject is. It is hideous and it is corporate. And the worst thing you can really do about it is just sort of like grumble and say, oh, tradition, and wave your fists at it, and to think, because that isn't going to stop it happening if the market wants it to happen.
No, absolutely.
I personally, I don't think it would be good, because I do like the fact that at the moment we have domestic football and European football sitting harmoniously side by side, supposedly harmoniously anyway, which is all right for me because my club play in Europe.
Hmm.
Obviously, you guys, you don't have that luxury. So, no.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not I've ever truly felt. I mean, I'd love Palace to play in Europe. But I mean, I'm reconciled to the fact that they're not really going to be a European club anytime soon, if ever.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't worry me.
Mm. That's another thing. Most of the clubs who play in Europe pretty much every season.
Yeah.
There are occasional UEFA spots that go to teams that get to a cup final or win the league cup or just do very well in the league, and sometimes they don't do that well in Europe. But it's not as if I don't get the feeling that fans are thinking, oh God, another season without Thursday night Europa League football.
Yeah, no, I think most fans of most clubs would regard European football as being something of a bonus, and so therefore wouldn't miss it if they didn't have it.
Mm.
So if they, I mean, this is an extreme, and I don't think it's going to be like this anyway. But I mean, if for example, European club, they shut down the Champions League and everybody formed this sort of like European Super League that sat above the domestic encounters.
Mm.
And it was essentially locked out and only the biggest clubs participated, irrespective of what their previous season's performance was in the league. I don't know to what extent anyone who wasn't in that would feel genuinely resentful. I mean, there might be a few. But I mean, maybe some clubs or supporters who have got ambitions, you know, and want their clubs to be in Europe, that might be in time be resentful. But I wonder whether or not they would just end up just finding a way to coexist anyway.
Mm.
I'm assuming that this isn't a complete clean breakaway with these clubs going off and even leaving their domestic leagues and all forming a European league as though it was a domestic league.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think the discussion is that, but I think that's what will happen.
That's the end game. Yeah.
It is, and I think it raises an interesting point as well about international football, because if the biggest show in town is no longer the World Cup, then that really puts international football. And you've got to ask as well, why would a club want to risk a player who becomes even more valuable in this scenario, playing for his national team?
But the World Cup is the biggest show in town.
It is currently,
and by some significant margin, international football blows the water out of club football. That's why club football hate hates the World Cup so much.
They wish they could get what the World Cup gets.
Ordinary people who watch the World Cup.
Otherwise, you would not see a public information film during any match in the World Cup. And I don't care who he's playing.
Yeah, even if it's on at 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. Though, I mean, they get big viewing figures, massive interest.
But so that's the biggest show in town. I mean, if you want to, if you want to make a lot, well, you say you can't touch it.
Well, no, you can't. You can't.
At the moment.
No, you can't. But really, you can't. I mean, if you can't touch it with the Champions League. The Champions League has been trying to do it for years, and it can't. And it just can't, and clubs have tried to bluster their way past the World Cup, but they just can't get close to it. G14 was set up to attack international football, and it was Blatter that really put the kibosh on it. It was one of the few good things he actually did. It does make you think, though, that this whole thing has started up again since he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
and
could
since,
be
it. And since there's upheaval in both UEFA and in FIFA.
Yeah, that's right, because UEFA are currently rudderless, aren't they?
Yeah.
They have an acting executive board, you know, whatever it is.
It's a good time to do it while they're just around.
Yeah, while the cat's away, you can get in and come up with some crazy harebrained schemes. And so that when the new guy comes in, he's like, we were discussing this stuff.
And there's the area of...
All you've got to do, sign there.
Exactly. Yeah, this fine.
Just do it. The last
couple. You've got so much on your plate.
Yeah. How do you differentiate yourself from the previous administration? You know, you've got to be a bit more friendly. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the area of uncertainty with the Champions League in the UK, with the new TV deal and the coverage being what it is, and the fact that Sky never got massive. I mean, they didn't. When they lost the rights, they went, well, you know.
Yeah, they didn't shed many tears.
It was a big thing for them because they could talk about how great it was. It's a bit like Sky Atlantic, a bit like vinyl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great thing that they can say, look, we've got this, but no one watches it. The only people who watch vinyl are the people who tweet about it. Literally, the ratio between viewers and tweeters in vinyl is 1-to-1. And so the Champions League was a little bit like that for them, and is a little bit like that for them.
That's like stuff on Netflix, isn't it?
It is, it's Orange is the New Black. I mean, which is brilliant, by the way.
But I heard that was good.
But I mean, you know, only 10 people.
Making 10 a murderer.
Watch it.
Everybody who watches it tweets about it,
don't
they?
Indeed, absolutely.
I think what is interesting is that if the aspiration is to try and be the biggest show in town, you may well be right that they'll never achieve that, but trying to achieve that might cause a whole hell of a lot of damage on the way through.
Definitely.
And the fallout of that could be very hard to repair.
Yes.
Yeah, but as I say, football is a beautiful game and it always endures. Football survived two world wars and people still turned up and watched it. People will watch football. People crash cars to watch people playing on streets. It's just an enduring game, and as long as the appetite there, and okay, fine. If it loses its popularity to a certain degree, then it doesn't really matter. It's not really a problem.
I'll still watch it.
Yeah, yeah. And our club's just down the bottom of the road.
Yeah. Yes.
So we.
And no one really watches that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's great. That's why I like it. I don't like it when new people come along.
It's really bad. That's right.
And on that insular point, I think it's time to bring this podcast to a close. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Terry DeFellin, and from Ian Bilton, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
If you're thinking about coming to watch some non-league football this weekend, don't, because we don't like it when new people come along. Go away. I hate it when you go and there's no Bovril. It's because the new people have come along and they're going, oh, yeah, you're going to have an authentic match appearance. Let's have some Bovril and a grisly pie. Yeah, let's do that.
Bloody twat. Oh, yeah.